This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
My name's David Gale and I came to Joy 94.9 3 years ago. I came to do the Taste of Radio course, which had been on my I've Got to Do It list for a long time. And I first arrived here and met amazing people. You know, this is an amazing voice for our community. And I met amazing people that are really talented and realised that there were all sorts of opportunities here at Joy 94.9. I've learned skills that are amazing, skills in radio, which I never thought I'd do, and I've been able to add a voice to our community, and I think that's really important. What can I do here at Joy 94.9 is my question. So as a volunteer, if I can bring something of value to the radio station, that's my prime concern. It's not about what it can do for me, because this is a privilege and a pleasure to be here at Joy 94.9 in a voluntary role.
It's Monday the 21st of May. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Rachel Tyler-Jones. This week is National Volunteer Week, an annual celebration to acknowledge the generous contribution of our nation's volunteers. Here at Joy, we have over 300 volunteers, both on the mics and behind the scenes, helping to keep us out loud and proud. And the one you just heard from was David Gale, who hosts the Monday afternoons, keeping us entertained with tunes and banter here at Joy. Tonight on the show, we find out about the ANZ and Sydney Gay and Lesbian Community Grants, with up to $10,000 available to LGBTQI not-for-profit community organisations, charities and individuals to help support local LGBTQI communities around Australia. We hear from last night's AIDS Candlelight Memorial in Melbourne, with powerful speeches remembering the past and looking to the future of what it means to be a person living with HIV. And we find out about the winners of the Glorias, Australia's Gay and Lesbian Outrageous, Ridiculous and Ignorant Comment Awards, who every year shine a light on the ridiculous comments made about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex people in our communities every day. Find out who made the list.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427JOY949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
ANZ and Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras have opened applications for a national LGBTI community grants program, which will provide grants of up to $10,000 to LGBTI not-for-profit organisations, charities and individuals to help support their local LGBTI communities. Dina Curie finds out more.
Instead of looking somewhere over the rainbow, Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras and ANZ have joined forces to provide greater support under the rainbow, with a national community arts program that will provide financial funding for a wide range of purposes, including education and training, community development and creation, arts and culture, and more. Something Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras CEO, Teresa Kasu, is very proud of.
We are so excited about this program. It's been in development with ANZ for some time. And where this came from was, you know, us sitting back as an organisation with our partners and questioning, you know, what is our role nationally? What is Mardi Gras' role nationally? How do we embrace that? How do we develop that? And how do we reach out particularly to our regional and remote communities, and particularly, you know, our isolated communities that don't get access to Mardi Gras? So that's where those discussions came from. And then we wanted to make sure that we were looking very broadly across what we call community. So look, arts and culture are such an important part of what we do, but let's look at outside of those boundaries. So let's look at the sporting, you know, our LGBTQI sporting communities. So much good happens in those places. So much amazing discussion happens through those kind of, you know, informal groups in regional areas and communities. So the broader we could go with these grants, we thought the better. So there are three components to the grants: arts and culture. You could be a young writer, you could be a theatre group, you could be, you know, a choir, you could be anything of those. The other area we were looking at was community education. So looking at bringing in, you might be bringing in an international or a national speaker talking about mental health, for example, or, you know, safe schools programs for your community to understand that better. And, of course, the other area is community groups, including sporting groups. So, yes, that's where it came from. You know, we have a big vision for this. This isn't just a one-year program. This hopefully is going to be an annual program and go on for, you know, years to come. And what we're hoping to see out of this is a whole lot of these connectivity, like a connectivity growth. So even by the connectivity of one group and another, maybe, you know, 50 kilometres radius, then opening that up to partnerships between communities, partnerships between towns, partnerships between cities and towns. So hoping that this discussion will start to bring that connectivity to our community. You know, you'll see one community working with another community maybe 50 kilometres away, and then over time that community might be working with a city group, and the partnership begin and beget and beget and beget, and this is how we start to grow connectivity. That's what we are calling participation with Mardi Gras. You may never end up at Mardi Gras parade. We hope that, you know, we hope that many more people do, but you can be attached to Mardi Gras without being city and Sydney centric.
It's wonderful to see Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras in its 40th year work in partnership to create a grants program like this, which is well beyond the borders of a parade or a festival or even a party. From protest to pride, we've seen an evolution of the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras over the past 40 years, evolving to meet the needs of the community in other ways in partnership with ANZ. It's a change we're starting to see a lot more within our community organisations, as they not only evolve to meet the growing needs of our communities, but re-identify how they can do this in the best possible way.
Our community will see a lot of change in that direction coming from Mardi Gras. There's an incredibly active board at the moment who are, you know, just terrific and really inspired and really skilled, and a great team that are coming together and creating new strategic visions for the organisation that are back to the base, back to the root and heart of Mardi Gras, about being, you know, there for social justice, there for human rights, and there for equality. That doesn't mean that, you know, we still won't have our big, you know, end of town parties, but a whole lot more participation and events and partnerships with Mardi Gras that look across the world.
Now, grant writing isn't for everybody, so the prospect of applying for a grant where you could get up to $10,000 for your community group or organisation can be pretty daunting. But also, many organisations and community groups are formed out of grassroots action or even acknowledgement of isolation. So stepping up and asking for what you need is something you need to be able to do, and something that CASU encourages everyone across Australia to be a part of.
There are categories to be guided by, but if you have an idea or an event or that doesn't fit into those categories, we are absolutely open, and there is active space on the application form if you don't fit into any category. We encourage that. We also encourage people, you don't have to ask for $10,000. Ask for what you need and think broadly about that, because you can come back next year and apply for the next component of your development. So you might start small and then look to grow that. We want people to look at the kind of the program in a broader context. And what will make your application successful is how it gives back to community. That is kind of the key criteria of this. Everything that this application is based on is giving back and benefiting community. Now, we know that those outcomes might not all be immediate. We know that sometimes those benefits, you know, come over a number of months or a number of years. As long as you can articulate that, we are all ears.
This is something the chair of the ANZ Pride Network, Melissa Tandy, agrees with.
Just apply and have a go at it and go through the process. So they can go onto the mardigras.org.au/grants site and try and work through the application, and just put it in and share a little bit about, think about what this grant is actually going to mean to them as well. And there's no harm in applying. It'll just give them a really great opportunity to maybe access this funding. So have a go, and if you think it's going to add value and impact the community in which they're operating, then I think that's a great thing to do.
I just can't say enough about ANZ at the moment. You know, our regardless of what's going on for many of our big banks across Australia, you know, this is our 13th year going in with ANZ. There's such an incredibly and open and broad thinking when it comes to development of community. And, you know, they've had an incredible sports program themselves and a grants program attached to that. And they've watched grassroots programs that, you know, you even to $1,000 or $2,000 to a young netball team can mean everything. You know, so they've seen that and they've learnt from that. The other thing that we want to make sure that Mardi Gras is doing, that we become a leadership organisation on a national level, but also reaching out to our pride networks in every state and making sure that we have connectivity to all the amazing work that they're doing as well.
As Casu said, it's thanks to the partnership of ANZ and Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras that these national community grants are available. And Tandy is hoping that LGBTI people and organisations from every corner of Australia will think about how they want to give back to their community and apply.
It's quite amazing. And I think the amazing part is the breadth that the grant program actually, not just in dollar terms, but also in the breadth of the program of what you can do either as an individual or a not-for-profit organisation. You know, if we can help them with things like, you know, visual artwork or supporting a specific initiative, and the fact that it's out in regional areas as well, I think is fantastic, because often these programs don't reach right across the countryside. And I think that's really important for us to acknowledge that Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras and ANZ are looking nationally, not just in the capital cities. At the moment, we only have small grants in specific areas. So by broadening this out, and with it being up to $10,000, it means we can support just the range of initiatives that perhaps don't get the support or attention, and certainly not to this dollar value, that really need it within their local communities. So I think it's awesome.
Helping to be a part of the community grants for LGBTI Australians is something Tandy is very proud of on behalf of the ANZ Pride Network.
We have a great opportunity to help our employees internally at ANZ, and we've been long-standing supporters of Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras for over a decade now. We've marched, and this has really been an opportunity, and I think an insight from us as well to say there's more that we can be doing out in the communities, and partnering with Mardi Gras is a great opportunity for us to have that much broader reach. So for us, it's about being authentic on the inside of our organisation, but also reaching out and helping our community groups too. We don't often get the opportunity as employees as well to be a part of these sorts of programs. And when it's a partnership like Mardi Gras, you can extend it beyond just marching or being at Fair Day. Now we actually get to partner and reach out to community groups that we don't normally get to touch. So I think this is, we're pretty proud about it. It's going to be an awesome initiative. I think it's going to be marvellous. So very, very unique, and very proud to be a part of it.
Applications for ANZ and Sydney Mardi Gras community grants are open right now until the 1st of July, with successful applicants announced on the 16th of July. For more information, please visit mardigras.org.au/grants.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Been made, the votes have been counted, and the results are in. That's right, the Glorias have been announced for 2018. The Gaspian Outrageous, Ridiculous and Ignorant Comment Awards, more commonly known as the Glorias, is a fun event that shines a light on outrageous, ignorant and plainly ridiculous public comments made about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex people in our communities every day. There are 8 categories in the Glorias, and the overall award, the Golden Gloria, is given to the winner of one of those categories for being the actual worst of the worst. This year, the Glorias have followed a special theme, focusing on comments made during the 2017 Marriage Equality Campaign. Without further ado, here are the winners. In the media category, Marijik Rancy, under the name Political Posting Mama, for misrepresenting the law in her video blogs, including ads promoting the No Vote in the Marriage Equality Campaign. In religion, Lyle Shelton's Coalition for Marriage for claiming that marriage equality would lead to a 4,000% increase in children coming out as transgender, mandatory pride events, and kids being forced to learn how to have gay sex. In the anonymous idiots category, members of the public who said they felt violated and bullied by receiving an unsolicited text message from the Yes campaign. The message was not, as these reactions might suggest, an unsolicited dick pic with the word yes written on it. Instead, the message simply read, "The marriage survey forms have arrived. Help make history and vote yes for a fairer Australia." Calm yourselves, people. It was just a text. Under silliest comment made from within the LGBTI community, professional troll Milo Yiannopoulos, for promoting the no vote on grounds of religious freedom just weeks after marrying his boyfriend in Hawaii. In politics, Malcolm Turnbull, for putting the LGBTIQA plus communities through a nationwide opinion poll on the validity of our same-sex relationships. Good one, Malcolm. And finally, in the sport category, in an interview on Vision Christian Radio, former tennis player Margaret Court called homosexuality an ungodly lust for the flesh and suggested that LGBT tendencies in young people were all the devil. She also likened the LGBTI community to Hitler and communism. Reverend Court's interview was considered to be so exceptional, so ahead of this bigoted pack of comments, that she was also awarded the Golden Gloria for her exceptional homophobia. If you know someone who has made a ridiculous, outrageous, or ignorant public comment about the LGBTI communities, go to www.theglorias.com.au to nominate them for next year's Glorias.
The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Over the weekend, AIDS candlelight vigils were held around the world, acknowledging people living with HIV and those that were lost to the disease. Tonight we will hear from Living Positive Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council's candlelight vigil yesterday evening. Supported by the Low Res Choir singing Cyndi Lauper's True Colours, you'll hear from Max Niggle, Heather, Bill O'Loughlin and Fiona Patton as they braved the cold and wet and spoke about the past and the bright future that people living with HIV have today.
Some might ask why global candlelight memorials still matter. From the first memorials in 1983, no one could have predicted the scale and impact of the global HIV epidemic. With millions of lives lost and 37 million people now living with HIV, we as a global community remain profoundly challenged by this epidemic. The HIV epidemic continues to shine a light on the injustices and exclusion in our societies, while allowing space for continued solidarity with our communities who have carried the weight of this epidemic, including gay men, transgender people, sex workers, people who use drugs, women and girls, adolescents and children. The memorial calls upon us to share our stories of challenges, perseverance and triumph to educate new generations about the achievements of the AIDS movement over the decades.
I remember as a young girl and in my adolescent years, people were getting sick and dying of AIDS. I was about to finish high school when HIV was declared a global pandemic. It was scary. I'm living with HIV. Like most of you, I'm still on my life journey and figuring out how HIV fits into my life. In the past, I struggled to talk and share my story about living with HIV because of the stigma that's associated with it. I've come a long way. It has been a very, very long journey with many ups and downs. Being in Australia, I've witnessed that many people, especially women, they still do not feel comfortable about discussing about their HIV status. They don't feel comfortable about disclosing and coming out and talking about HIV. This is more so from women from diverse backgrounds and women from migrant backgrounds. Their status causes them shame and guilt. We have a long way to go to break down the cycle of prolonged stigma and discrimination. I remember during my high school and university years that the words HIV and AIDS were everywhere. It was on the news, billboards, buses, clinic, hospitals, radios, everywhere, you name it. People were dying. And at that time, I was very careful and practiced safer sex, always. The economy in Zimbabwe was starting to deteriorate. My parents decided to seek employment overseas. They got jobs quickly in Australia. We all migrated within a year, my parents and three sisters. I was in my early 20s when we arrived. As a visa requirement, we were supposed to test for HIV. This was before we got to Australia. I was negative then. 2 years later, we were applying for permanent residence. I was still negative, and I was so happy and relieved. Although I dated a few people at university and high school, most of the time I was in a committed relationship. I left my boyfriend back in Africa when we arrived here in Australia, so I wasn't interested in dating anyone else. A year and a half went by. I got lonely, like most of us do. I broke it off with someone who is overseas. I started seeing someone else here in Australia. We practiced safer sex initially and decided to go on the pill because in Australia, that's what women do. We're more afraid of getting pregnant than contracting STIs, HIV included. Biggest mistake of my life. That's where it all happened for me. I thought and assumed that I was safe in Australia and the other person was HIV negative. Well, I'd asked them and they told me they were negative and I believed them. I started to think in retrospect that if I had been back in Africa where I come from, I would have insisted that we both get tested before having condomless sex. This is because that is the culture there, and it still is. HIV is very real for everyone back in Africa. Anyway, I educated myself as much as I could around HIV. I sought support from Positive Women, Living Positive Victoria, Victorian AIDS Council, and of course, my doctors. I ended things with this guy. Life happened again. I returned to university, I got another degree, I found a partner, I had two beautiful kids, I got a job, we separated, and now I feel like I'm finally getting my life again. I feel like I'm getting a do-over. As you can tell, this may be a very normal story, but that is how it is for a lot of us, for a lot of women living with HIV. We're very normal, boring people. Sometimes complex. The problem is the lack of space that is available for us to be able to share our stories in a safe environment. The challenge we have now in present Australia is stigma. Stigma that is associated with living with HIV, testing for HIV, and being diagnosed for HIV. This is what stops people living with HIV from speaking out and have others learn from their experiences. And today, we should remember on how far we have come. We should reflect on the back on the 80s, when a lot of people were dying from AIDS. I know I was lucky enough to have my peers start the fight we have against HIV now. I say thank you and rest in peace to those we have lost to HIV-related illness, including AIDS. My journey is about reflecting on the past and preparing for my future.
In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it, and the darkness inside you makes you feel so small.
If I'm asked to describe the experience of those days to younger gay men, I ask them to imagine a gathering of their best friends, best mates, having fun, yarning, telling stories, teasing each other over a meal, over drinks. But quietly, in the background, each knowing that in the coming year, there was a good chance that one, or maybe more, of your group would start to become sick and move towards dying. And that you, each of that group, would be faced with deciding if and how you would care for him. In the common history that circulates about those years, this part is not remembered. Back then, many more people than now saw homosexuality as a perversion, and gay men as sick, degenerate, and immoral, as lesser members of society and a threat to its values and mores. Yet from the time the sickening and dying began, hundreds of gay men rose to respond, and we cared for our friends as they died. And more remarkably, hundreds of gay men became support volunteers at VAC and supported complete strangers through to their final day. Some helped drive them to appointments, shops, or did cleaning. Others faced the horrible intimacy of cleaning up vomit, feces, and blood. Gay men, back then considered to be incapable of conventional love, delivered extraordinary acts of compassion, selflessness, and altruism over and over again, and quietly and privately.
I see your true colors, and that's why I love you.
It's 2018. It was 30 years since I went to the first funeral for a friend who died of AIDS. And I went to many more. I was involved in the AIDS Council in those early days. I also was part of establishing some of the needle exchange programs in those early days. And in those early days, it was frightening, but God, you know, we actually had a lot of fun as well. And I think it was because we didn't know what was coming the day after. So we'd celebrated life in a way that was quite different. It might have also because I was young as well. That was kind of the attitude then. But it was also a time when our governments were actually quite brave. You know, we established AIDS councils, we established sex worker rights organisations, we established drug user rights organisations. We did some really great work. We were brave. Australia was at the lead. And I think that's why we have been so successful continuing on in this campaign. But in those days, we didn't even recommend that you got tested because we knew the stigma and the discrimination of being tested.
I see your true colours, and that's why I love you.
Back in the early 90s, when a woman became HIV positive, it was never thought that they would have children, ever, because for fear of transmitting the virus onto their child, or for fear that they wouldn't live long enough to raise that child. So it was just with such wonderful optimism to hear Heather's story and to hear Heather saying, I'm just boring. Heather, you are far from boring.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media, at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you would like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. Remember, it's National Volunteer Week, an annual celebration to acknowledge the generous contribution of our nation's volunteers, and we want to thank all the volunteers that help keep The Informer and Joy 94.9 out, loud and proud. You've been listening to The Informer. I'm Rachel Tyler-Jones.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.